Pandemonium reigns.
Tennessee is set to host the Florida Gators this coming Saturday night. It's a large spread, but as you know, if you've been a Tennessee fan for even a short period of time, whether it be 25 years, 15 years, a year, when these two logos, these two brands get together, it really doesn't matter what the paper says. We're going to talk about the entire thing. My name is Dan. This is Pandemonium Reigns. Thank you so much for hanging out with me as we preview this Tennessee-Florida game in Neyland Stadium come Saturday night. And I just want to say thank you before we get started, as we've continued just to experience some really cool growth to the channel and the podcast platform. So with that said, make sure you hit like on this video. You give us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcast. Again, thank you so much. So let's get into this thing. Tennessee, Florida. Tennessee's coming off a loss. Florida's coming off a win. Are these things going to have any kind of impact on the outcome come Saturday night? Possibly. I think if there's any game where, now I'm going to sound total contradictory here, where stats and things like that don't matter, or the paper doesn't matter, it's this one. It's absolutely this one. Now, as we get into this, a couple of factors and things that I want to talk about. And the first thing that I want to mention is Eugene Wilson. Is Eugene Wilson going to play for the Gators come Saturday night? He warmed up against UCF, but he didn't register any stats. Not going to lie to you. Didn't see an ounce of that game. Not going to pretend. I do think he is a difference maker. I think he is somebody that, whether you're DJ Lagway or Graham Mertz, if he's on the field, he's probably your first read, no matter what the play call is. He's just an X factor. He's a difference maker. He's a guy who can win you some games, who can move the chains for you, who can do a lot of different things for you. I think a second factor here is we've been better at home. We've been much better at home in Neyland Stadium than we have on the road. This is just the way that it's kind of gone under Heupel's time in Tennessee. So I like that to play a factor in this game come Saturday night. I'm optimistic for this one. So before some of you go ahead and say he's a neg of all, he's got BVS, battered ball syndrome. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. I'm gonna give a what I believe is a full prediction at the end. I'm picking Tennessee to win this game. So don't jump out on me just yet. But we've been better at home. And that those are things that should play into our favor. But now let me ask you this. And I think this is where a lot of you are going to disagree with me. Is this a must-win game? Is this a must-win game? Well, I think it's through what lens you see that through. But I'm going to, off the cuff, say yes. This is a must-win game. It is not a must-win game through the lens of can Tennessee still make the playoffs. That's not the case. Tennessee can lose this game. You would still have to beat Bama. You'd have to win out. You'd have to beat Bama, possibly convincingly, and definitely beat Georgia in Sanford Stadium. So it's not a must-win in that regard. It's not a must-win as if you lose this game, all your goals for the 24 season are gone, dead, done. Not that. It's a must-win game for Josh Heupel, I think. It's a must-win game for Coach Heupel. Here's what I mean by that. In Heupel's time against Florida in 21, lost to him in Gainesville. 22, obviously, got a 38-33 win at home against Florida. That was breaking the streak going back to 2016. And then lost a bad one in Gainesville last year. He is currently 1-2 against the Gators. He is currently 0-3 against Georgia. He is currently 1-2 against Bama. You need this one. When you lost to Arkansas on Saturday night, fans, if just look on Vol Twitter, look on Instagram, just search Vol on any social media platform, and you got fans who are done with him because he's conservative and he should have let Nico rip it and this, that, and the other. And you know, Amari Thomas actually showed that Heupel doesn't have a good culture going on. I'm not gonna argue that. What I am going to state is, Josh Heupel needs this one. He absolutely needs this one. He shouldn't have lost last year in 23. It should not have happened. We were the better team. They put together the exact rep. You can go. I would love for you to go back and listen to this. The preview episode going into that game where I said the formula for them to beat us is to keep the ball away from us, nickel and dime us down the field, and that's exactly what they did. Graham Mertz came alive. He was not very good at Wisconsin. He was not very good in his time at Florida until us. And we gave the rest of the country that night the recipe on how to beat us. And it was time of possession, nickel and dime us down the field, don't make silly mistakes, and put drives together. And that's exactly what they did. Mertz was excellent that night. Shouldn't have lost that game, though. We were the better, more superior team. Should not have happened. You're fresh off an Arkansas loss, where on paper you should have won. Everybody was picking you. It was an opportunity to make a statement on the road, to change the narrative of can you win games on the road? You didn't do it. And now you've got the fan base coming against you. Now if you lose Florida, you're going to send this fan base through an uproar. Especially when everything is, you should win this game. This is a what have you done for me lately type of sport. And the fan base is going to be out on you so fast if you lose this game. Through the lens of Tennessee, not so much. Obviously, you want to change this narrative. But as far as Coach Heupel goes, you have to change the narrative on this rivalry. It's time. We should be going into this game with a two-game streak, on a two-game winning streak, but we're coming off a one-game losing streak. You can't allow this to extend. I don't think there will be any grace for you to lose this game. I'm not even saying this for myself. I'm just saying from the Tennessee fan base as a whole. We are completely irrational. We see 15 minutes in front of us, and there's just some games and some things and some teams you got to beat. Back when Fulmer was head coach in the early 2000s and 90s, I don't remember what time period he said this, but at Tennessee, you got to beat the big three, Florida, Georgia, and Bama. You got to do it. And the coaches that have not been here very long haven't done it. The only one that beat any of them outside of Heupel was Butch. Two against Georgia, one against Florida in a five-year span. It's not going to cut it at this university. Not going to cut it when you have built this roster, this kind of roster, when you've put together what I believe is still an extremely positive culture, when you still have a lot to play for, a lot of things right out in front of you. I just don't think there's going to be any kind of grace if you lose this game. Again, though, before you close this video out, this guy's a negaball. Well, I love one of the guys in the comments. He was like, yeah, I just turned you off because I was tired of listening to the negativity. Contextualize what I'm saying, please, because I'm picking Tennessee to win. So you got to change the narrative on this. You got to change the narrative on this series is my point. It's at home. It's a night game. It's Checker Nealon. I believe that Nealon is going to be on fire for this one because we can be a very forgiving fan base. I expect this stadium to be packed, loud, ruckus, all the things. But you got to win this one. You have to win this one. All right, so what I want to do at this point is I want to take a look at the numbers. What do the stats say about this one? Now, I know I said in the beginning that I don't think that stats are an indicator of this game. But they're so much fun to look at. So let's look at this together. This image, again, being brought to you by That SEC Podcast and his Week 7 game previews. Appreciate him for putting this out there for the general public and podcasts like me. So if you're taking a look on YouTube, you're going to see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 statistics here. And all but one favor Tennessee. All but one favor Tennessee. So let's walk through this slowly. Pass offense efficiency. This is the only one that favors Florida. It is what it is, y'all. It is what it is. Nico wasn't good last Saturday. Wasn't good. I would say if that game is just a little bit different, this stat probably plays actually into our favor. All right. Florida's at 34 in the country. Tennessee is at 55. Pass defense efficiency. Florida, 86. Not very good. Not very good, especially for a brand and logo and an SEC historical power like the Florida Gators. Tennessee, 43rd in the country. Rush offense efficiency. Florida, 54. Okay. Tennessee, 46. Here's the big one. Rush defense efficiency. Florida, 95. Not good. Not good at all. Tennessee, 25. Third down offense. Florida, 77. Tennessee, 25. Pretty good. Third down defense. This is a big one. This is a Grand Canyon size gap. Florida, 106 on third down defense. Tennessee, numero uno. Explosive plays offense. Florida, 69. Tennessee, 44. Here's another massive gap. Grand Canyon size gap. Explosive plays defense. 104 for Florida. 4 for Tennessee. 4. Now, what's funny is, as I start to read these stats, what I'm noticing immediately is that maybe I should be eating my words a little bit. Just a little bit. Maybe the stats are going to be a bit of an indicator inside of this one. Because the... where did it go? Third down defense. 106 for Florida. Number one for Tennessee. I saw a little bit of the Florida-Mississippi State game. And what I noticed in that one is defensively for Florida, there were some issues getting lined up. Okay? What I heard from the Andy and Ari show regarding the Florida-UCF game is that Florida had issues getting lined up defensively. And UCF was almost waiting on them. Don't know. I'm giving you secondhand information. That could play into our favor. If they don't get that fixed, which you have to believe a SEC program like Florida saw that after the Mississippi State game and started working on it to get it fixed. And if it showed its weary head again against UCF, you didn't get it fixed. I think we would all be naive to think, oh, Florida just doesn't consider it a problem. They're not aware of it. How silly. I don't believe that at all. So that could play into our benefit. I'd like to touch back on that again a little bit later. And then finally, the explosive plays defense. Florida 104 in the country, Tennessee number 4 in the country. That's a 100 spot difference. 100 place difference. The big play should be there for us, statistically speaking. Statistically speaking, it should. You could argue that it should have been there for Arkansas. I would argue and say our tackles played like absolute garbage, and that prevented a lot of the ability to put the ball downfield or have the explosive play. When the tackle position is not very good, you don't have to rush extra. You can send 4. I mean, there were times where they sent 3 and still got to us. So all the other guys can drop back in coverage. And again, if you listen to my recap episode on the Arkansas game, if you look at that last play, there were no options there. Again, he should have put it up, should have gave an opportunity to a guy to make a play, but that did not happen. You need to see that happen. You need to see that change come Saturday night in Neyland against Florida. You've got to see that narrative change. All right, let's talk about what it's going to take for Florida to win this game. Let's talk about Florida's path to victory. I think it is a much more steep path than it is for Tennessee. I think it's a much more difficult path than it is for Tennessee, but I do think that there is a path. And for those of you that are saying there's no chance that Florida wins this game, I would ask you, are you of the same camp that says, no way Tennessee loses to Arkansas, Heupel is undefeated off the bye week? Are you a part of that camp? Are you seeing what's unfolding around the country? This we are watching 2007 happen all over again. So there's a path for Florida. It exists. It's why you play the game. So here's Florida path. And a lot of it is like that of what they did in 2023 offensively. Put long drives together, nickel and dimes. But I think there's also an added element that they're going to have to do, and that is they're going to have to take some shots on some 50-50 balls, and they're going to have to win those, which I think is a tall task for them, because go back to Jermaine McCoy. I don't know that I would test him. I don't know that he would be the one that I would try to take a chance on that 50-50 ball, because all of those passes in the Arkansas game where they were completed against him were defended exceptionally well, extremely well. But I do think you got a nickel and dimes and play the sticks, the chess game of the sticks, if that makes sense. And when the 50-50 ball opportunity comes, you have to win that game. I think you have to win the time of possession. I think you have to play keep away. I think you have to force us to continually to play from behind, keep some kind of margin of some kind of separation on the scoreboard in your favor. Constantly, you're going to have to play four quarters. I don't think you get a third, or you can get away with playing one, two, or three. I think you need to play a complete and full game. You almost need to be mistake free. All right, and I think you need to do exactly what Arkansas did defensively against us. Let me take you back to Tennessee Pitt 2021. Pitt is in Knoxville. They run this double pass. Might even have been a double reverse pass. I don't remember. I do remember whoever's throwing the ball shouldn't have been throwing the ball. They end up scoring on this. For the rest of the season, almost what felt like every team we played that year attempted that against us. Teams continually saw things on film for them to continually run that. I don't know if we were failing to adjust to it. Obviously, I'm not in the locker room. I'm not in the position rooms. But there's something on film there for these teams to continue to try and do that. And now the problem is, regarding this Arkansas game, Arkansas has put something on film defensively that is going to cause problems for us. And the question that surrounds that is, can we get that corrected in a week? Man, I don't know. The formula is this. Show 7, rush 5. Show 7, rush 5, drop 2, and mix it up. It's exactly what I wanted us to do to Taylen Green, but we didn't. It's exactly what I wanted us to do. And if our tackles have the night like they had in Fayetteville, Arkansas, that's a recipe for disaster. Tackles have to be improved, okay? That patty cake stuff that we caught Herb doing and that's flying all over Twitter, that cannot repeat. Cannot repeat. The good thing for us is Florida doesn't have a Landon Jackson. They don't have that guy. But I don't care who is your edge rusher. If that's your effort, it don't matter. It could be me. And I'm 6'3", 205 with like a definition dad bod. That can't happen. That absolutely cannot happen. So send Nico through a mental whirlwind before the snap. And if you get beat, you get beat on it. I think you just continue to do it, because if you do it enough, I think there's going to be enough plays that result in us being behind the chains or some kind of turnover that could play into their favor. All right? Here we go. Let's talk about Tennessee's path now. Tennessee's path is not near as steep. There's actually one thing that I think that Tennessee can do. And if they do this thing, it doesn't matter. I think Tennessee will win, and I think Tennessee will cover. And that's play pissed off. If Tennessee comes in this game and sets the tone immediately, which I hope we kick off and defensively we just we're flying off the ball and we're getting after it and we're playing aggressive. I don't know that you can run enough draws, screens, and counters and things like that to offset an aggressive defense for four quarters. Don't think there's enough. I think if you play absolutely pissed off, controlled chaos, controlled pissed offness, if that's a word, I think that's enough. I think if you are physical at the point of attack, physical on the edges, You jammed the absolute crap out of those receivers. You played with low pads. You hit them. I don't know that it matters. Do everything intangibly to not give them hope. If they somehow manage to put a drive together, make that offense go to the sideline and go, oh, dear God, we're going to have to keep doing that all night. Hit them in the mouth. Draw blood and take your jabs, take your haymakers, and play pissed off. I think if you do that, I think this is a win. I think this is a win. Because we're that much better on roster, on paper, all the things. It's at home. Keep this stadium in it, alive. Do not give Florida a chance to silence our crowd. Don't give them a chance to do it. And I think this is completely capable. But it's all on Heupel this week and how he sets the tone for this. It's all on Heupel. It's all on our leadership. It's on guys like Brew McCoy. It's on guys like Keenan Pilley to set tone. When I would love to see a quick hitch to a Brew McCoy and him lower his shoulder like he did against Clemson, what was that, end of the 22 season in the Orange Bowl. That safety regretted coming down on Brew. Do that. Man, it's like basketball when you're in the paint and guys are reaching in aggressively. You've got possession of the ball, offensive or defensive, and they're aggressive with their hands. You put those elbows out. You give them a little elbow to the chest. They're not going to be so quick to throw those hands in there. Do more than give them an elbow, though. Give them an elbow to the mouth, all right, and continue to do that. Now, if we talk about schematics, I would love to see us come back to tempo, which is exactly what I said against Arkansas. I'm totally cool that you didn't run it against Oklahoma. I don't think it needed to be ran. I think it was a very wise decision to not go tempo against Oklahoma and play a slow pace, you know, change blows, because eventually our blows are going to have a more lasting impact, all right? But I do think you need to go tempo. I do think you need to go tempo. But now you have to ask yourself, is Nico capable of it? Are there some concepts? Are there some approaches that he's not comfortable with? These are all fair questions. Can he do it? Is that the reason we haven't done it yet? I'm still a believer on Nico. I still think he is elite. I'm not going to write a guy off because I think he had a bad night. Are there some things maybe Heupel doesn't trust Nico with yet? That's a very real possibility. It's a very real possibility. Maybe there's some things that Nico hasn't quite grasped yet. And that's okay. It's year one. It's year one for him. Yes, I know he's been in the system longer than that, but it's still year one playing, okay? Hooker was not Hooker Alabama 22 that he was Pitt 21. It took some time. It's development, all right? But I would like to see tempo. And I think tempo is a great recipe for ending Florida come Saturday. Speaking of offense, we've got an absolute dude in Dylan Sampson. An absolute dude. Here's my problem with this. Let's talk about play calling just for a minute. I'm not going to talk about, is it aggressive? Is it conservative? I'm a little more frustrated in the style when it comes to the running game. When we run, it is inside zone. Period. That's it. We don't run stretch. We don't run power. We don't run counter. None of it. We don't run any of it. We run inside zone. We don't even run outside zone. We run inside zone. And at some point, you have to ask yourself, how much longer can we sustain this? Just running these style of runs. How much longer can you sustain it? I would love to see more out of the run game. All right. Finally, let's close with this. What's a win going to mean for each team? I know I've touched on this just a little bit thus far, but a win for Florida, you might as well go ahead and sign Napier to an extension. That's going to buy him another year in Florida if he goes into Neyland Stadium and pulls off this win. Night game, Checker Neyland, Josh Heupel. You know, I mean, we're still a top 10 team. playoffs are still right on the cusp for us. I mean, you all but end our possibility for the playoffs. Again, we would have to win out. When the likelihood of beating Bama and Georgia, I don't know about that, man. I mean, that would mean a ton. You lose this game if you're Florida. I don't know if it's as bad. I think the grace was bought for you coming off this UCF game, but you beat a team that you should. You didn't do it by blowing up the scoreboard. I think you had 21, 24, something like that. You held them to 11, 13, something like that. Don't quite remember. Not going to pretend to know. Okay. But I do think you're expected to lose this game. It's away night, all the things that I've already said. I think the risk and the reward is much more... is that a fragment? It's much bigger. It is much bigger on the Tennessee side of things. If you lose this thing, come Tennessee, or come Saturday night for Tennessee, that's detrimental. You shouldn't lose this game. So I'm not going to spend a ton of time there, but it's not good. It's not good. A lot of this fan base is going to be out on you real, real fast. Again, you need to change the narrative on this thing. A win, though. Here is an opportunity to hit the reset button after Arkansas. This Florida game is going to tell us what has taken place in the locker room this week. It's going to tell us. And if we come out and we're lackluster, flat-footed, bleh, woe is me, you know, no spark, no energy, no fight, that's going to tell us all that we need to know on what took place in practice this week, what took place in the locker room this week, what took place in the position rooms. We're going to know. It's going to tell us. I'm going to believe, though. I easily choose to believe that we're going to come out aggressive. And Heupel has called them to the carpet. He's called himself to the carpet. He has hit the reset button. He's asked a lot of hard questions about himself, his staff, and this roster, and this team. I'm going to say he's done all the right things. Again, a loss is detrimental, but a win could mean a lot. Here is an opportunity to get right. Get right on your season and get right before Alabama comes to town. Alabama is a much more tall task than Florida is. It's a much bigger hurdle. And we were all so optimistic before this Arkansas game. And now as fans, we're a little unsure of ourselves, right? So there's a lot to play for here, a lot to lose, a lot to play for, a lot to gain, a lot out for our reward. All right. Well, that's going to bring us to the end of this thing, talking Tennessee, talking Florida. Tennessee favored by 15.5 at this point with an over-under of, I believe, 54.5. I'm hoping what that means is that Tennessee scores 55 and we cover by a half point. If you pick up what I'm laying down. All right. Again, thank you so much for hanging out with me. Make sure you hit like and subscribe on this video. Super thankful for the growth that we had. I would love for you to drop a comment in the YouTube section there. Let me know what your score prediction is. Let me know if you think I'm crazy, you think I'm stupid, you still think if I have bad or false syndrome, you know, whatever. Don't care. Love your comments. It's good for the channel. Really, really appreciate it. I love you guys. Have a fantastic weekend. God bless. Go Vols.